This is going to be a powerful show. Welcome, friends. My name is Casey Bozell, and I am the concertmaster of Orchestra Nova Northwest. I'm here with a pre-concert guide to our next production, Resonance Nova. This is an enormous collaborative undertaking between our orchestra and Portland's Resonance Ensemble, directed by Catherine Fitzgibbon. The three pieces on the program are all defined as cantatas. Now, if you'll pardon the music appreciation professor hat being put on here, a cantata is simply defined as a medium-length work with voices and instruments with a narrative tying it all together. The cantatas were a really big deal in the time of Johann Sebastian Bach, who usually used them as a religious form of music, allowing the narrative to be tied together between the hymns and the sermon that were being used at a given church service. It's for this reason that people often associate cantatas with being a sacred form of music. But the narrative, as you'll see, can come from anything, be it sacred or secular. These three composers we're presenting in this concert are using their works to unite a large group of people through a message of peace and unity. And this, of course, will be beautifully mirrored on stage, as you'll see over 150 of us come together to perform. First up on the program is a powerful piece by composer Caroline Shaw. Now, here in Portland, we're even lucky to be able to call her a local. Her work has been widely recognized and awarded. She became the youngest recipient of the Pulitzer Prize for Music in 2013 and has also racked up a couple of Grammys along the way. To the Hands is not even a decade-old composition. It premiered in 2016. Shaw was commissioned to write this piece as a direct response to a piece written in the 17th century by the Danish composer Dietrich Buxtehude. One of his major works, Membra Jesu Nostri, contains a cantata entitled Ad Manus, or literally, To the Hands. The text of Buxtehude comes from a medieval hymn and is therefore sacred in nature. Shaw's interpretation of both musical themes and text creates something that turns this sacred work into something more globally and secularly applicable. The piece is in six movements, with the first one serving as a wordless prelude. The second movement is based on the main question asked in the original Ad Manus, which is, what are these wounds in the midst of your hands? By changing one word, the perspective is massively shifted as the question becomes, what are these wounds in the midst of our hands? The third movement directly references the New Colossus by Emma Lazarus. You might recognize this as the poem inscribed on the Statue of Liberty. The text of the fourth movement is written by Shaw herself and calls up imagery of an old woman in her home, changing dramatically to a very individual scene. The fifth movement again zooms out to a global scale as the text of the choir is simply spoken numbers. These numbers represent the amount of people who have been displaced from their own country due to violence, conflict, or violations of human rights. The sixth movement offers a comfort in a way, with the text, ever, ever, I will hold you, ever, ever, I will enfold you. The speaker of these words is left up to interpretation by the audience. Our next piece on the program is a composition by 20th century composer Margaret Bonds, and it's entitled Credo. Bonds was an American composer and pianist who, in 1933, became the first Black soloist to perform with the Chicago Symphony Orchestra. Bonds' career led her to a friendship with poet Langston Hughes, whom she collaborated with several times. When Hughes died in 1967, Bonds wrote this work in his honor. Credo is a piece that takes its text from a prose poem of the same name, written by civil rights leader W.E.B. Du Bois in 1904. Du Bois wrote this piece in proclamation of his philosophy of racial equality. The poem is comprised of nine short sections, which Bonds organized into seven movements, titled I believe in God. Especially do I believe in the Negro race. I believe in the pride of race. I believe in the devil and his angels. I believe in the Prince of Peace. I believe in liberty. I believe in patience. Margaret Bonds' body of work is impressive. In addition to her collaborations with Langston Hughes, she wrote pieces for piano, voice, and even works for musical theater and ballets. She passed away in 1972, but happened to be a mere 4 years before the Copyright Act. So being a woman of color meant there were very little resources available to advocate for her estate. Fortunately, in 2013, Georgetown University was able to acquire a collection of manuscripts, letters, and other papers to be preserved. And much like the preservation of Florence Price's music, who incidentally was Margaret Bonds' teacher, scholars can now catalog and preserve the important works of this composer and promoter of civil rights. Finally, we come to Dona Nobis Pacem, written by Ray Vaughan Williams in 1936. Vaughan Williams was an English composer, and so this period of time in history was after the conclusion of the First World War, while rumblings and fears of the Second World War were on the horizon. In order to promote the ideas of peace, Vaughan Williams composed this cantata with texts taken from a variety of sources, the Catholic Mass, poems by Walt Whitman, quotes from a political speech asking for peace, and a couple choice quotes from the Bible. He organized this vocal and instrumental music into six movements for this cantata. The first is the text from Agnus Dei, which is the final movement of a traditional Catholic Mass, calling forth the imagery of the Lamb of God to symbolize the bringing of peace. The second movement, Beat, Beat, Drums, takes text from a Walt Whitman poem of the same name. The poem speaks of the sounds of war interrupting the everyday lives of civilians, such as this first stanza. Beat, beat, drums. Blow, bugles, blow. Through the windows, through doors, burst like a ruthless force. Into the solemn church and scatter the congregation. Into the school where the scholar is studying. Leave not the bridge room quiet. No happiness must he have now with his bride. Nor the peaceful farmer any peace, plowing his field or gathering his grain. So fierce you whir and pound, you drums, so shrill you bugles blow. The third movement is from Whitman's poem Reconciliation, which speaks of the horrors and death of both sides of war, while also referencing the call for peace that was spoken of in the first movement. He pushes this narrative even further in the fourth movement, titled Dirge for Two Veterans. The dirge is then followed up with a speech by British statesman John Bright, as he delivered an impassioned plea to end the Crimean War. Following this, Vaughan Williams returns to the sacred roots of the piece, invoking Bible verses among the Latin Dona Nobis Pacem, asking once more for the granting of peace. This was clearly a dark time for Vaughan Williams and the world as a whole, but I encourage you to look for the inherent optimism and hope that he weaves within his writing. He wrote this not to despair about the state of humanity, but to unite us and help us turn towards a brighter future. It's an important message that many of us can hold on to, especially in moments where we are unsure of the unfolding of our own history. Residence Nova will be performed twice this weekend, once on Saturday at Reynolds High School Auditorium at 7:30 p.m., and again on Sunday at 2 p.m. at the Patricia Reeser Center for the Arts. Tickets can be found at novanw.org. Please, let us know what you think of the program. We're so thrilled to be able to present these moving and spectacular works to all of you. On behalf of myself, conductor Stephen Baez, and my phenomenal colleagues in Orchestra Nova Northwest, thank you for your support of the arts, and we'll see you at the show.